Good morning, church. Y'all ever have a morning that just nothing turned out right? You wake up and everything just, falls off the cliff. And, by 9, you wish you could just start over. Yeah, I woke up this morning. I got no creamer for my coffee, so it's already going bad. I had to pick somebody up for church, which I don't, that sounds great. I love to do, except that I misjudged the distance. So, it took me a little bit longer, which I'm okay. And then on the way, we get, all of a sudden traffic just comes to a stop on I-40. So I send Bob Turner a text. I just said, stall, and I get here, and we don't have no donuts. Why we have church? I'm kidding, why do bad things happen to good people? You ask that. Not all of these things are pretty petty, if you're having a bad day, those kinds of things really pale in comparison to some of the bad things that happen to you. But if you've ever asked, why do bad things happen? If you've ever asked that question, or, Lord, why are you doing this to me? Or, whatever you've asked, at some point you gotta, something bad happens and you're trying to figure out, why is this? For the last 2 weeks, or really last week and this week, it's kind of been a downer kind of thing. We talk about when bad things happen, or when you fall in a pit, or if you're just going through a rough patch. Or last week we called it the sifting period, when you're getting sifted. And if you're like me, you usually try to figure out why in the world this is happening, right? If we take a peek at our story this morning in Luke, and if you got your Bibles, we'll be in Luke most of the time, and you'll need your Bibles, because at some point we got to read. And So, it'd be good if we actually had them. If you've ever wondered why bad things happen, there are only three reasons, okay? There's only three reasons. You might come up with another one, but it's really just three. So I'll give them to you real quick, all right, if you've ever wondered. Here's the first one. Sometimes bad things happen because the Lord allows the devil to sift you out, all right? Sometimes bad things happen because you just got chosen. You're welcome. It's your time, and you have to go through bad patches. And you can see already in that text that Daniel read, Jesus allows the devil to sift Peter. The devil's asked to sift you, and I said, sure, go ahead. So those things happen. And, of course, we can all think of somebody else in the Bible that happened to, right? We all know who I'm talking about? Okay. Yeah, one person does. Yeah, Job. Right, feel free to just holler it out. It's okay. Ain't nobody gonna get in trouble. All right, it's okay. Job, we all know that story, right? In fact, that's the only part of the story we ever remember. So there's the first three chapters where Job gets sifted, and then we go for another 38 chapters that none of us ever remember, and then we get to the end, and then everything turns out well for Job again, right? So, and that's usually how the story goes. But God allowed the devil to sift him. So maybe we don't have donuts because it's the devil. I'm willing to blame it on him if y'all are. I mean, seriously. I mean, it's the easiest way for me to come up with that. Okay, here's the second one. And I'm just using donuts because it's light and, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Here's the second reason something's happening to you. Sometimes we go through hard times or bad times or worse times because you put yourself in that situation. It wasn't the devil. I mean, we like to blame the devil for stuff, but maybe you're going through bad stuff because you're a bad person. Lord, why am I in so much debt? You probably spend too much money. I've got this illness, and I've got this illness, and I've got this illness, and why am I always sick? Why am I always, I can never catch my breath. I can never do that. Why is the devil attacking me? I don't think it's the devil attacking you. I think it's those, Marlboro Lights that you smoke. That might have something to do with the wheezing. I mean, I don't know. I'm just guessing here, right? Or why am I always, I'm always having a battle with this, or I'm always sick. It might be the food you eat, right? A lot of times we want to put blame somewhere else, but did we ever just, kind of stop and say, do I need to do this? Do I need to eat this? Did I need to go there? You kind of have to take a look around. And I know it's really easy to blame, But sometimes bad stuff happens because you invited it. Now, you just invited it. Have y'all ever heard this phrase? It just happened, right? Does anything just happen? These bad things, you know, all of a sudden, you know, my life was ruined. I kind of think it started way back here. So there's the two. And here's the third. Sometimes you have no clue. So God allowed the devil to sift you. You're doing it to yourself, or we don't know. Let me ask you this. Why did so many people suffer because of Katrina, because of Hurricane Katrina? Was it God? You remember the conservative talk shows and conservative TV shows that came on, and all this happened in Katrina because of the immoral behavior of New Orleans. And that was the reason why. You know, God is punishing New Orleans. And then you have another side who said, well, no, it's just, you know, God doesn't create hurricanes. How do you know which one it is? If stay in Luke, but I want to show you something. Go to John chapter 9. So keep your hand in Luke. Not like you can't find it again. It's right next door. But John chapter 9. What we really want to know is why this happened. And Jesus tells us it's not that easy. Read John 9, then we're going to go back to Luke. John chapter 9, look at the very first verse. As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, they said, Rabbi, who sinned, this guy or his parents, that he was born blind? Do you see what they're doing? Hey, why is misfortune happening to him? He must have messed up. Or he must have just come from a bad family. Some of y'all with high cholesterol and high blood pressure, some of y'all are really healthy. You know, how'd you get that? Because your mama. You inherited it. Thanks, Mom. You know, some of us have some genes that kind of wreak havoc. It's not your fault. It's not God's fault. It's your mom's fault, right? You know, so, you know, that's the other option, you know. We all want to know why we're to blame, who's to blame. And look what Jesus says in verse 3. He says, neither one. It's neither this man nor his parents sinned. Neither one of them happened. But when the disciples see something bad, they want to say, oh, who's at fault? How'd this happen? You know, why? How long, oh Lord? They want to start asking all these questions. And Jesus starts to intervene and he says, you know, nothing really happens. Sometimes bad stuff just happens. What if Katrina just happened? Katrina is a long time ago. It was a fire in Davidson County Saturday night. And it just demolished the house in no time. And you're tempted to think, well, what started it? Here's my question. What difference does it make? Does it make the house any less burned? Does it make the stuff any less gone? When you get the diagnosis and you say, how did I get this? Let me ask you a question. What difference does it make? You got any less cancer than you did 5 minutes ago? If you found out the answer, would it just make the cancer go away? We spend too much time trying to figure out why we're where we're at, and not enough time getting out of where we're at. And we waste way too much time. Go back to Luke in Luke 13. It's a rare passage. Luke 13. And usually when you do this passage, you have to spend like 15 minutes talking about the historical situation. We don't have that kind of time, and I'm having a bad day. We're going to skip that, okay? Because it's going to put you to sleep anyway. You can figure it out, all right? You Google it. But you don't have to know that to understand this passage. Luke chapter 13. Let's look at the first three verses. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Okay, this is the point where I'm supposed to tell you what happened, but surely y'all can determine what that was. All right, so it's just something bad. All right, verse 2, Jesus said, do y'all think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? He says, I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. We see something bad happen, and we say, you know, how come, why did that happen? And Jesus says, do you think they're worse than you are? You think something bad happens to somebody? You think somebody gets racked by a fire or by a hurricane or by an addiction or by something? And do you think that you're better than them? Do you think that they're worse than you? Jesus says, oh, no, you're asking the wrong questions. And then Jesus hits us with this. I tell you, when something bad happens, what it ought to do is instead of making you ask questions, it ought to make you take a look at your life. And you ought to understand that this kind of thing can happen to me too. And I need to make sure I'm right with God. He does it again. Look at verse 4. He said, what about them 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them? Surely I don't need to give you all an historical background. You get the point, okay? A tower fell on people. Very bad. Do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. You see something bad. You see something you feel sorry for. You see something that ruins your day. I have seen, it's like the amount of homeless and beggars in Davidson County. Has anybody else notice this? Has tripled. Y'all notice that? It used to be just exit 216. Now there's three on exit 216, three on 219, and now they're getting on the Mount Jewett. It's like, what is this? Just a growth? Are we just seeing more? Am I just noticing it more? And when you look at people who carry those signs, the woman had the sign yesterday, it says, family of six, hard times. You ever seen signs like that and you think to yourself, why don't you get a job? Nobody want to admit that. It's okay. I did. I admit it for all of us. Or have you seen someone and you think, you probably got yourself in that situation. And I'm not telling you, shame on you. I'm just reminding us that too often we see something and what we try to do is to come up with reasons why we're seeing what we see. And Jesus says, you're wasting your time. Wasting your time. It's a colossal waste of time. How does that help anybody? What does that do anything? When you see something bad, how about this? How about you understand to yourself, this kind of thing can happen to anybody. Anybody. A tower can just fall on somebody. Some of y'all have experienced just senseless death. You get a phone call. Your aunt just died in the car wreck. What for? She just died. What happened? What difference does it make? How much time do we waste trying to figure that out? When instead, if we put some time into what we need to do with our life. Jesus says when something bad happens, don't waste no time trying to figure out why. Spend your time thinking about your life and what you're going to do moving forward. So, with the few minutes we got left this morning, here's the message. Stop asking yourself, how did I get here? And start thinking to yourself, how do I get out? And there's a little process you have to go through here. And if you skip one of these, you're not going to get out. So whatever pit you're in, and if I ask you who's not experiencing a bad day, who doesn't have bad days? Anybody want to raise their hand? A couple of liars. It's all right. I don't have bad days. Okay. You need to get out more. You need to leave and get on the interstate at 6:30. You have a bad day real quick. We got donuts yet? We're about to have a bad day. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. I get off the donut. All right. I don't even eat the donuts. I'm just, it's the principle of the whole thing. Here's the outline of what we need to do to get out, all right? And again, if you skip one, you're not going to get out. You got to go in this order. It's exactly this order, all right? Don't skip step A and go to B. Step A. You need to have an awareness that you put yourself here. We need to have an awareness that what's happening to me may have been caused by me. And I would tell all of you that needs to be the first thing you ever say. Why is bad things happening to me? Could it be me? But usually we're the last person to look at, don't we? When something bad happens to me, I try to blame anybody but me. It can't be my fault. That can't be it, right? Surely it can't be it. I hope not. If y'all have noticed the hospitals, they now have free parking. It didn't always used to be that way. If you go to Vanderbilt or Baptist, that's not called Baptist, it's something else. They messed it up, see? Yeah, St. Thomas Midtown. Yeah, that's not my fault. That's their fault. You know, they rename that. Yeah, it is their fault. That's right. Yeah, we're going to start a mob here. It is their fault. Yeah. So we got St. Thomas. You got Vanderbilt. You got these hospitals. They got free parking. I don't know if y'all remember. It wasn't always that way. You know, you got to pay. You know, if you're there longer than, 5 minutes, you got to pay $85,000 just for staying there. I'm exaggerating a little bit. You know, we didn't always have that. But I still like that a couple of these hospitals have clergy parking. Y'all know what clergy is? That's me, all right? And I don't mind. Y'all just call me Brother Toon or Adam or, you know, whatever. I don't like titles, except when it comes to parking, and I like being called clergy, all right? I don't wear a collar. I don't wear a tag. I don't have nothing that says pastor or reverend or whatever. I don't have that. But when I go to a hospital, I got a tag, and it says clergy. And I'll wear that around my neck. I'll embroider it on my shirt. I don't care. But I'm going to have that tag. So I put it in there, and I'm going to tell you which hospital, and I pull into the clergy parking, and I go in. And right when I get in, the guy comes out, and he says, "You can't park there." I said, and I was in my boots and my jeans. I said, "I know I don't look like a pastor, but I'm pastor." And he said, "Sir, I don't care if you're Jesus Christ." That's what I did. I went. He said, "You can't park there." I said, "Who are you?" He said, I work for maintenance. I run the garage. You can't park there." I said, "Sir, let me tell you something." Because I didn't see a badge, so I kind of thought I had a little freedom. I said, "I'm clergy. I can park there because it's clergy parking." And he said, "That's not clergy." I said, "It's been clergy for as long." I said, "Man, when I was 15 years old, my daddy parked in that spot." He said, "It may be so. But since we have free parking, we don't have clergy parking. You have to valet it." I said, "Sir, it says clergy on the pavement." He said, "No, it does not." That's what I said. I went, "Mm-hmm." And I didn't want a valet because I got one of y'all I had to go see. And, I that takes time, man. You know, we got traffic patterns here. I'm trying to avoid all that. So I said, "Can I show you something?" And he said, "Sure." So I went back to the car. I said, "I'm going to move the car out. I'm going to show you to say clergy." He said, "Go ahead." At this point, I'm thinking, uh-oh. Do it say clergy? Put it back up. And I'm kind of peeking. I'm thinking, uh-oh, please. And it says something. And I get up and it says reserved. And I look underneath and it says reserved for physicians. I said, "I might have messed up." He said, "You might have." I said, "Today, I might have." So I backed out, valeted, and went in. But did y'all notice whose fault it was from the very beginning? It wasn't my fault, was it? It was his fault. You know, he didn't recognize who I was. And then it's his fault for not knowing that it says clergy. And then when I backed up, those are the exact words I used. Y'all remember the words I used? "I might have messed up." Not that I messed up. I might have messed up. I don't want to go the full length, you know. I just want to go a few yards into that. And even still, I never said I messed up. And I was still mad about it. And now do you know whose fault it was? It was the hospital's fault. That's whose fault it was. Because they changed the parking and didn't tell me. But you notice I haven't blamed myself. What I'm telling y'all is to reverse that. Okay? May not be your fault. But when you park and somebody says, "Hey, you can't do that," ask yourself, "Can I?" I didn't say ask them. Ask yourself, "Can I?" Maybe I messed up. Let me check. Let me check twice. There needs to be a certain kind of acknowledgement, an awareness about ourselves. If you're in Luke, jump forward to Luke 22, verse 62. Remember, Jesus says, "Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times." And we're going to look at verse 61, chapter 22, verse 61. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word that the Lord had spoken. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times," verse 62. And Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Peter knows it's me. He don't blame any, you know, well. You have to have an awareness that you make. If you don't have an awareness that you, this is pointless. You know that whole phrase, repent? You know, what you going to repent for? You didn't do nothing wrong. You have to have an awareness that you messed up. Y'all remember the popular story, Jesus and the adulterous woman? Remember they caught the woman in the act and they brought her before Jesus and they said, we got a stoner. And Jesus says, sure. I know that's what the law say. And then what does he say? Yeah, he who hadn't sinned, you know, hey, if any of y'all wasn't involved in this, feel free. Fire it up, man. Anybody want to pick up a rock? That's what I thought. But do you remember what he told the woman? Turn to her and he says, where are your accusers at? And then he says, stop sinning. That's kind of harsh. She just went through a whole accusal. You know, she was falsely accused. She wasn't falsely accused. She was doing what they accused her of. Jesus still acknowledged. In other words, Jesus said, I'm not going to pronounce judgment on you, but I am going to judge you. Y'all see the difference? You know, when people say, you can't judge me. Yes, we can. We do it all the time. You say you don't want to, but we do it all the time. Some of y'all did it this morning. Can't believe she wore that. Can't believe he did that. You judge him. Jesus says, I'm not going to condemn you, but you need to quit doing what you're doing. You wouldn't have been in this situation if you hadn't been with him in the first place. I mean, you blame, you know, we can blame all them other people who brought you in here, right? We can blame everybody else. But let's ask ourselves, how'd you get in this in the first place? I mean, I know it was a setup, y'all. I know they set her up. I understand that, and I you know, sympathize with the woman. But even Jesus says, watch what you're doing. There needs to be an awareness that it's probably you who got yourself into it. But here's the second part. When there is an awareness, there comes some confession. We need to reach out to God, and we need to make our case known that we've messed up. There's a difference between knowing you messed up and saying you messed up. Remember me back at the hospital? I might have messed up. I was not going to admit to that guy. Absolutely not. Because as long as I don't admit it, as long as I don't say anything, I didn't really do it, right? There needs to be a confession. Still in Luke. Look at chapter 23. And look in verse 32. There was another man during the crucifixion of Jesus, who has an awareness. And he too has to come to grips with it. Look at chapter 23, verse 32. We'll give it one more time. This is bound to happen to me today. It is, yeah. It's not my fault. Dennis's fault. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. And when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, another on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Look at verse 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. He said, aren't you the Christ? Why don't you save yourself and who? While you're at it, don't forget about the little people. You know, you got all the power, man. Hey, y'all ever said this? You got money. You got money. Why don't you share a little bit of that, you know, with the little people? It wasn't my fault, right? He says, if you're the Christ, save yourself and us. Verse 40. But the other criminal rebuked him. He says, don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished what? Justly. We deserve this. We are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. He not only comes to an awareness, he goes a step farther. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You notice he doesn't say, hey, won't you save us out of this deal? He says, remember me when this is all over. And Jesus answered him. In all the pain Jesus is going through, he got time to have a conversation. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. There needs to be an awareness that our deeds may have put us up here. And there needs to be a coming to Jesus moment where we come to Christ and we say, not I might have messed up, but I messed up. And then there's a third part. Remember I said you got to go in order? You can't go out of order. You got to go in order. It's the third part. You need to make amends with the people you hurt. Yeah, I know you want to go to God and say, oh, Lord, please forgive me. But there's some people over here that you shamed God in front of. You know, turn there. Y'all remember the story of Zacchaeus, the wee little man, and a wee little man was he? We don't have to sing the whole song, but y'all get the point. If you don't know the song, see me afterwards. You should have been in church in childhood. He climbed up in a sycamore tree to see what he could see. I'm done. Jesus comes to him and he says, I'm going to your house today. I want to go to your house. Zacchaeus can't believe it. You know why? Because he works for the IRS. And he's been robbing y'all for years. He audits everybody in here. You know, some of you who don't use TurboTax, yeah, he got you. Yeah. And he sent you that little notice that says you're going to be audited unless you go ahead and pay the $2,900. How many of you take the chance of being audited? How many of you just go on and get a loan and pay the $2,900? Yeah, rest of us. Because we think, what else will they might find? Zacchaeus gets you with fear. That's how they got him. They made him afraid. And Jesus says, I'm going to your house, but here's the line I love. Zacchaeus says, I'm going to give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I'm going to pay him back four times the amount. Zacchaeus knew I messed up. Zacchaeus was willing to admit that he messed up, and then Zacchaeus says, if I've wronged anybody, I've got to make amends. You remember this year we've been doing Matthew, we kind of took a break. Remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, you get to church, and you remember you got something between you and your brother and sister. What do? You better go home. Well, I got to be in church. And Jesus said, you're wasting your time. All that sitting in traffic and all that stuff. No donuts, you know. It's a big waste of time. If you got something between you and another person in this church, and you're still sitting in that pew and not working that out between them, you wasted your Sunday. You should have cut grass. You'd have got more done. That's what Jesus means. It's not just showing up. It's making sure that you live your life how God would have you to live it. But here's the last piece. That confessing and coming to God, it's got a kind of another side to it. There are three times during Jesus' crucifixion, three times, that a person realizes, I messed up. Three times. We done seen two, right? You got Peter. He realizes it. Jesus looks at, Jesus gives him a look like your mom gave you. I don't know if Jesus said anything, but if he was like my grandmother, he would have said, He don't have to say anything. Peter knows. It's him. There was the second one, right? The thief on the cross. He realized, hey, man, we deserve this. Jesus, remember me. There's a third. Does anybody remember who it is? It's Judas. And this is not in Luke. It's actually in Matthew. In Matthew 27. Judas does what Peter does. Judas does what the thief does. Judas sees everything that's going on. He realizes, I've messed up. I mean, y'all tell me, how is Judas any different than Peter? How is Judas any different than the thief at this point? Is Judas's sin worth more than the other one? I mean, anybody willing to say that? I'm not. Judas, he betrayed Christ, but Peter just denied him. Are we measuring that or something? They both wrong. Both of you messed up. And they both know they messed up. If you hadn't gone there, go back to Matthew 27. Look at these words. Look at these exact words the gospel writer says. It says, chapter 27, verse 3. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was what? Seized with remorse. What does that mean? He was sorry. I wish I hadn't done that. And he tries to make amends. Doesn't he? He returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders, and he said, I have sinned. Look, Y'all, look at this. He goes farther than Peter does. Peter don't do that. Peter just goes and cries about it. Judas goes back. He says, look, I messed up. I have sinned. I have betrayed innocent blood. He goes where you're supposed to go. If you mess up, you ought to come to church, come down front and confess, and we'll all make it all right, right? Judas does what y'all would do. He went to church. He goes to the chief priest. He goes to the temple. He goes down front. The preacher meets him. You know, we sing the invitation song. Here comes Judas. The preacher meets him, and Judas says, I've messed up. I have innocent blood. And the preacher looks at him, and the preacher says, that's on you. That ain't got nothing to do with us. What did you want, a prayer or something? Nah. Now you on your own. And Judas goes and hangs himself. I think a church will be judged based upon how well we welcome those who are in the pit. Do you understand that? I pity the church who does not welcome sinners with open arms. Woe to the church who, when people need someone to confess to, we say, that's on you. Don't bring that in here. That ain't got nothing to do with us. You go work that out for yourself. Wonder what would have happened to Judas if the priests and the rulers would have said, let's pray. Let's ask God for forgiveness. I don't know. I don't play the what-if game. But I wonder what would happen to a lot of people if the church would do a better job of opening our arms. See, there's two sides to this pit. There's those who fall in, and there's those who help get you out. Because you're not going to get out by yourself. And so this morning, that's kind of who you need to decide who you're going to be. Remember what Jesus says, when you fall in the pit, don't waste no time, you know, thinking about how we get in here? Well, how do we get to this spot? Jesus says, you're wasting your time. What you need to do is to figure out how we're going to get out. I don't know if y'all caught it. Daniel's translation does it. Mine doesn't do it. But the word you in that translation that Daniel read, Luke 22, in my Bible it says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. But in the Greek text, if there's a southern Greek text, it would say, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift y'all, you-ins, all y'alls. Satan has asked to sift y'all like wheat, but I have prayed for you. And when they all fall away, you are going to have to get them out. Do you notice that? It wasn't just Peter who was sifted. It was everybody. But Peter's job is going to be to help them get out. This morning, who are you? Are you the one in the pit? Or are you the one outside the pit? If you're one in the pit, how are you going to get out? And if you're the one outside the pit, how are you going to help them get out? This morning, if it's you, and you're down there, let us help. Let us be there for you. Let us pray for you. Let us help you get out. Because I promise you, there's not a person in here who hadn't betrayed the truth for 30 pieces of silver. Ain't a person in here who hadn't done that before. We've all been there, and somebody helped get us out. Let us do the same for you.